Have our swords? I'll get one of them one day. In the meantime, I'll just keep blowing the dust off of mine, Miss Kim. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I have everything it says I have. I am everything it says I am. And I can do everything that it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John 3:16 through 18. The apostle speaking to us, and he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We are continuing today in our discussion of traveling down the highway of life, trying to get to the rest stop, the Jesus rest stop. And so far we've covered faith, and we've covered hope, because by faith we're driving to a destination, hope that we're going to get there, and today we're going to start talking about love, the Father's love. We need to understand the importance of this third ingredient, because without this ingredient, it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we say, because the Father's love is what motivates us to do what it is that He calls us to do. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We have come to a place in understanding that there are two types of faith, heart faith and head faith. And we dissected that to a place to get people to understand the difference. You know, the faith of God that is shed abroad in our hearts is to mature us and to grow us in spite of the physical circumstances that are going on, because what we do is we look to God. We don't look at our circumstances. We bring those circumstances to God and we leave them at His feet. And we believe God is going to take care of that. We also know that hope, according to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is always pointing to where? Our future. Faith is when? Now, today we need faith. Every day we need faith. We need a faith in God. We need to exercise that faith and believe that God is going to use us and propel us through this life to mature us into the supernatural beings that we are. We are a spirit being that has a soul that lives in a body. And if we're able to begin to really see these realities, we will be able to put down the things of the flesh and begin to start working in the things of the Spirit. We also know that there are two types of hope, biblical and worldly. Biblical hope is we have a future, we're looking to a destination, not necessarily a situation. Our destination is where? It's in heaven, in which we're going to party and we're going to have fun, but we're also going to return. Jesus is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And our hope is that as we go through this life, we will be worthy of that kingdom that He bestows upon us. And so as we activate the faith in God and our hope is in there, we need the love of God in order to do the work of God, which is what? Fulfilling the Great Commission, right? That is our job, each and every one of us. And my job as a shepherd is to not only lead you and feed you into spiritual fields and have good things, it's to keep you motivated in such a way that you move out in the things of God no matter what He's requiring of you. A lot of us have gone through some really pretty interesting things in this last year, and we will continue. Why? Because we are advancing the kingdom of God. We are moving forward in the kingdom of God. We are moving in the power of God. If you don't think it takes power to stay motivated and do the things that God requires of us, you need to understand that it's by His power and by what He wants gets us to move forward. And today, just like with faith and hope, I want to start talking about love. And there's two types of love. Does anybody know what those two types of love are? Divine and fallen. I'll help you. Should have read my notes. You would have been a good student. Divine and fallen love. What is fallen love? True. That is absolutely true. And divine love is God's love. Fallen love really speaks about meeting needs to fill our needs. Divine love speaks about filling needs no matter if our needs are met or not. You see, when you have faith that God's going to bring you through, it doesn't matter what it costs you, because you know in the end that when this service is completed, He will bestow upon us a kingdom and all the riches of His glory. Not just for Sharon, not just for Dan, not just for Miss Holly, but for all of us. And in that bestowing of this treasure, we will be rewarded for our service to Him. But we need to understand that we can say we love God, but God looks in our heart. And really the truth of it is, we operate more from fallen love than we do from divine love. And when we do operate from divine love, it is for very short segments of time. And generally what we do is we pollute it, because we throw a string onto it, because we try to influence God that we've done something rich and wonderful and that we should be rewarded for that even more so. Turn to Matthew 5. I want us to understand some things here and really begin to start looking at this love that I'm talking about. Matthew 5, verse 43. Jesus is speaking to us. He says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing this? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than the others? Do even the pagans do this? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." Or be mature as your Father in heaven is mature. Christ right here is trying to get us to understand how God operates. He causes the sun to shine not only on the righteous, but also on the unrighteous. Why? Because that's who He is. He causes the rain to fall upon the saints and the ain'ts. Why? Because He loves us. And He wants us to grow and produce. But also Christ is showing us fallen love and divine love. He's showing how God in His divine love does all this for us, and he knows that we don't have the ability to pay him back for all that he does for us. Fallen love is conditional. What it does is says, you know what, Kim, I love you, and I love Miss Holly, but Miss Becky, I don't love, because yada, 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 whatever. Okay? And I love you so much, I'm going to help you, but in the meantime, I throw my string out there, because it's an attachment. And that string that's attached to it generally has to meet something that's in me that I'm lacking, that you can provide for me. And when you don't provide that for me, what happens? Right. And when we don't receive back what we think we should, we gossip. We trash talk them, even in volleyball games. We'll tell everybody how wicked they are. Why? Because within each one of us, we have a spiritual need, we have a physical need, and we also have a material need. But most importantly, there's always attached. When we throw something out, it comes out of an emotional need. I don't love Miss Becky because there's maybe an emotional disconnect that's in there. We do these things because we're not receiving back love, because it's contingent on them. God has no conditions. You remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about how the Greeks described different types of love. But God's love is agapeo, unconditional love. When was the last time that you did a good deed to somebody just because you could? Not because they were your friends, not because they were your family, and not because they did good unto you. Pastor, I've never done that. When was the last time you did a good thing to your neighbor? Remember, we're all brothers and sisters in this world. It's just some of us have come into the family of God and some have not. You see, fallen love and divine love, each has a motivation. And that motivation determines what family you're going to operate from. If your motivation is, I love people because people can elevate me in position, I can network, this is the new word out there, I can network because they can help put me in a position of power that I want on the stairwell to prosperity, then your motivation is temporal, not eternal. Okay? God does good all the time. And it was his goodness that led each and every one of us to repentance, to come to understand that he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross to pay for my crime and your crime of rebellion against him. And the condition, the only condition for this was that we repent and start learning of God and becoming a viable member of his family. (Clears throat) We have to understand that fallen love comes from a pain, a hole that's in our heart, that we're trying to fill with stuff. And every time that we throw a string out there, we're hoping to fill that empty void, which only God Himself can fill for us. Remember I said both have motivations? The motivation of fallen love is to give to get. Divine love is to just give. Fallen love has expectations that may not be verbalized, but in the actions of our love, we actually distribute and tell people what our love is all about. I've had people tell me, "Pastor, I love you. I really love you, man. You've been there thick and thin for me." And I tell them, "No, you don't. You don't love me." And they look at me like I got a third eye. But the fact of the matter is, they only love because I provide something for them. True or not? Think about it. If you love me, you wouldn't have a unspoken condition on this. I love God because He provides for me. He does this for me. He gives me this. He does. That's great that you do. But you also understand He doesn't expect anything in return. Why? Because His motivation is such that He knows we can't repay all that He does. And isn't what Matthew 5 and also Luke 6 talk about? That's why the dichotomy and flow of the kingdom is totally reversed from the world's. We give to get. Jesus said, give, and it'll be given to you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken to overflowing. We don't know how that's going to come and in what way it's going to be, but God promises that will happen. We want to be on the receiving side. We're kind of like this proverbial football team that flips the coin and it falls down and we say, we want to receive. We want to receive. And the fact of the matter is, God is asking us to give. Give them an opportunity. Give them the right to see true love of God coming through our hearts without conditions. And I know this is a real hard thing for us to grasp. It's real hard because it challenges us to the very makeup of where we're at. Because just like you, I have to look to see what's motivating my heart to do things. I don't get to do this a second time. And so what I have learned in my life is that I'm going to give. I'm going to give even if it hurts. Even if it costs me something, I'm going to give. Why? Because I know my Father loves me. And I want to be mature like my Father. So in giving, I give. And I'm not going to illustrate the things that we've done through the years, Irene and I have done, but some of you and many of you are recipients of our giving. Why? Because we heard God and He said, do this. How many of us take the time to just take a piece of paper, put it down, and say, God, fill it up. Fill it up, God. Tell me what you want done. And some of us do it. Some of us put it down there. And we're busy filling it in for Him. Many of us are doing things in our lives that God hasn't been saying anything different. God wants us to respond to Him. Because if we love Him, we will respond to Him. And our motivation is knowing that we are unworthy. That's why we come here and express this this adoration and love towards God. Because we know we're not worthy, yet He loves us. We know we can't repay Him for all the good that He has done for us. Because He knows that we were stuck in sin and in bondage. We want to blame Him for the situations we find ourselves in. But God did not create that. And when we blame God, are we operating in love? We are. Fallen love. See, there's a string attached. When I bellyache and complain to God, it's because I have not received from God what I think I should receive. After all, it's your fault, God. You did this. After all, God, when I took that test, I failed that test. It was your fault, God. You know I prayed. You know I did all the homework. Did you study? Oh, you know, I just... God's going to do it. You know, we don't take ownership of what we're doing. We want to flood that responsibility on somebody else. And really, marriage is such a mystery. God is trying to teach us divine love through marriage. Now, let's face it, ladies. You guys operate with closer to divine love than our spouses, because you forgive us over the bonehead things that we do every 5 minutes. Right? You do. And believe it or not, we forgive you for the boneheaded things you do every day, once a day, twice a day. You know, you guys got it together. We need to learn from you guys to flow in this divine love that God wants us to flow through. That was a great interlude. When we operate from fallen love, we usually ask questions or have questions float in our mind in that when somebody comes to us and has a need, the first thought we think about is, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? You can shake your head yeah or no. I mean, I'm not looking to incriminate you. I'm just saying I'm in the same boat. But that should not be the motivation of what we do in order to do a good work for God. Every time that thought comes into our mind, we need to pull it down and jettison it, because that's not God's love. That's not even close to God's love. That's not even fallen love. That's satanic love. Because just like Peter said to the Lord, you know, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. You're not going to go to the cross. What was Jesus' rebuke? Rebuke Satan, but he said, you don't have the heart for the things of God. And the truth of it is, we don't either. Because if we did, We wouldn't be looking just to gratify our brothers and sisters. We would be looking to go outside and help as much as possible. When God says to go do this, we need to immediately respond, not make it like, well, it's an option, a column B, a column 3. I got all this stuff going on today. And God says, clear your agenda. That happened to me yesterday at the men's breakfast. I thought it was going to be this time, and I was far away from the time. I had stuff that required my attention to. But God was operating from a different perspective. He was teaching me something and showing me that all this stuff, even though I need to do it, was keeping me busy. And busy is an acronym for being under Satan's yoke. If you are so busy in your private scheduling of things to do, you may be under Satan's yoke. Because when we're so busy about our own lives, we're not even considering the things that God wants us to do to affect someone else's life. Divine love is a love that helps without any strings attached. And as I said, through the years, most of you and a lot of people outside the streams have been benefactors of us just hearing God, doing what He said to do, and we didn't put any strings to it. Turn to Proverbs 19:17. It's real interesting. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that has pity upon the poor lends to Jehovah, and his good deed will he repay him again." The Hebrew word for lends is lava, and it means to unite, to remain, to intertwine or bind together. Lending. Is that our mindset? When we lend something to somebody, what thoughts are conjured into your mind? Should be, this is a temporary arrangement in which I meet somebody else's need and they give back my stuff when they're done. Right? Right? I'll give it for instance. Dan, if you don't mind. I had lent Dan a tool. Did I ever ask for it back? I even forgot about it. And Dan comes and he brings me a brand new tool. I said, "What's this?" He says, "I borrowed a tool from you, and there was some damage to it, and I bought you a new one." I said, "When did you do this?" And he says, "Well, you know, when we were doing this, you said use this, and I was using it, and blah 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 blah." I had completely forgotten about it, but he bought me a new tool. Did I ask you to do that? No. What kind of love was Dan demonstrating here? Divine love. Why? Because my divine love to him as a spiritual father to him is I lend to my kids expecting nothing in return. As a son of the house, he wanted to bless me back with something new. He could have not said anything about it, and I would have ended up having to buy a tool when the time arose, because I had forgotten about it. That's how God is. He's forgotten all our selfish love. He has taken all that and he's thrown it behind him and he doesn't remember it. And so when we pursue him and we come to him, he's blown away by this response. I get blown away when I think about this because that's real love. That's love. Pastor, I love you. Why? Because he demonstrates it. What happens when people says, I love you, and don't demonstrate it? They're not telling me they love him. I lent it because I loved him. Lending here is not just a temporary arrangement. Lending here is the establishment of a relationship through a mutual need. And when that need is met, you still continue in that relationship, whether there is anything given back or returned. Didn't Jesus tell us, give, expecting it not to be returned? Didn't he tell us? And so when we're flowing in this divine love that God wants for us, we need to jettison our mindset that we're going to receive this back. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't. I know when we were constructing this, Ed and I had our tools laid out here. Anybody could use our tools. And I still have tools, and you probably still have tools. And Irene's got your trowel. Ed's got his trowel. Divine love will challenge us. I don't do things... I'll give you, for instance, how that... Friday, I usually do my final work on a message on Saturday mornings, and then I go about whatever God wants me to do. Friday morning, I did a message, and I said, Lord, what it is that you want me to do? He says, I want you to clean the house. What? I want you to clean the house. Okay. So I clean everything to bless Irene. And she noticed that I had cleaned because it was dusted. Things were arranged the way she likes it. You know, not the way we think, guys. You know. And she come in and she saw what was done and she says, oh, you just bless my socks. I said, really? I lent my time to her to bind our relationship together so that Saturday she could do whatever she wanted to do. And she did some stuff while Pastor Mike and I were at this men's breakfast. And she kept on thinking about how I did that for her to be a blessing. And she passed that blessing on to someone else in another way. And if God had told me to go someplace else, to go do this, I would have done that too. Why? Because as a son in His house, my job is to obey and demonstrate this love I have for Him through my obedience. The parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates divine love. Read it. See for yourself. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not the first fruit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And all the other things that flow behind it actually are developed within our hearts. When I was able to be a blessing to Irene Friday, it caused joy to well up in my heart. It caused me to be happy for her, to see her happy. When I went to the men's breakfast, it caused Pastor Toki to be happy. Because she invited me and I responded to that. It caused us to get out of ourselves to be a blessing to someone else without conditions. The reason why God wants us to flow in this divine love is not to get us puffed up, because knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. Love builds up. Love says, I'm going to walk with you no matter what. If you want to continue acting nuts and doing the things that are contrary to what our Father in Heaven says, that's fine. You can. I'm not going to walk with you. That doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I've outgrown that childish stuff. So Galatians 5:22-25 talks about the condition of our heart. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love in action. Divine love in action. And I encourage you to study that. I know it's not going to be easy for us. It's a challenge for us mentally and spiritually to allow the love of God to flow out of us. But it all comes down to who's driving your car. Are you trying to get to the rest station in your fallen condition, which is okay, because if you are, you're being drawn by the Spirit of God. But if you want to flow in this divine love, God wants us to have this divine love to reproduce into other people. Not just His life. He wants His divine love to flow out of us, to flow into others, so that they can be recipients and touched by God's presence and His Spirit, and they do likewise. Without murmuring, without complaining, just doing the things that God has said for us to do. If we have been struggling in our love, and our love has been found wanting, if our love has been tired, hurting, if we're confused, it's all because we've been loving out of a fallen nature. That is the truth. Because we have conditions. We have conditioned our heart and placed conditions on individuals to meet our need, not God. God is all we need. And His love needs to flow through us to touch the lives of people outside, to bring them into the family of God. We need to check, one, to see what the motivation of our heart is. Two, be honest and understand that we are not operating from the divine call of God in our lives. And that's true. We have it, and we can repent. And we should repent. Because it's God's goodness that leads us to that. And we need to ask ourselves two questions. Do I love with conditions attached? Do I just love people that love me back? Or do I love the unlovable? Question one. Question two, do I love unconditionally? Do I love everybody the same no matter what? I'm not there. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. When people call me at 1 o'clock in the morning about stuff, my first response is not divine love. and I have to repent before I answer that phone. If I've asked myself those two questions, then I need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my heart to reveal to me where I'm operating from. I need Him to tell me and continuously tell me when I'm selfish and self-centered in my love and my motivations are impure, to convict me of sin and unrighteousness so that I may repent. And then learn from Him, allow Him to teach me how to flow in the divine love without conditions, without pretense. Because you see, my heart is, I would like to see the sanctuary filled with people. Whether they know God or not is immaterial. They need to hear, and we need to demonstrate what we're preaching by what we're living. Nolan said this many years ago, people don't want to know how much you love. They want to see this love. I don't want you to tell me you love me. Demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. Whether it's a Father's Day gift that comes early as a blessing and we enjoy it for 2 days and thank the individuals who provided that, or a card of appreciation. When was the last time you just gave a card to somebody who's really under it? You know about it. You're not personal with them. You're not friendly with them. But God has laid that person on your heart. And you just sent that, saying to them, you know, I'm just thinking about you. I'm praying about it. You know, how is it that I can be there for you? There are many, many things that we could do. And God is speaking those things to us. And we just absolutely refuse to do it. It's time for us to stop being selfish, operating from a fallen love, and begin to become that divine person that He has created you and me to be, so that His house would be filled and we could touch this community with the love of Jesus Christ in practical ways. We are beginning to take these steps that we need to do as a congregation. God needs us. But if we don't do the things that He wants us to do, He will find people who will. I don't want that for Streams. I know what God has called into us, and I've shared a little bit of that with you guys. Not to get us built up or haughty, but to understand the immensity and enormity of His love for us, to bring this community under His lordship. Amen. Father, I just thank You for the beginning of this series, God. Help us, God. Help us to flow into the divine love more and more each and every day, God. Help us to admit to ourselves, God, that we have placed conditions on our heart. We have limited ourselves. We have not sought You, God. We have so much that You have given to us, God, and we give away so little. Holy Spirit, turn that around. Turn that around, that we would be conduits of Your love, conduits of Your grace, conduits of Your mercy, God, for the world that You died for. And as we get this thing right more and more, God, You be glorified in it, God. You, Father, would fill this house, take this town, work with the churches together, God, because nothing's more important than souls. I thank You, God, that You were working yesterday. I thank You for those young men that committed themselves to You, God. I thank you for all those who are to be here in streams, God. Help us, God, to not only engage, but see that this is a divine call to establish relationships through those needs, to bring them to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.